I don't quite understand the cover up.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman, the star of the show, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Ira Kaufman, I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. We've got a quick and dirty podcast for everybody, Ira, because that's what we're expecting the Bucks to do to the Bears on Sunday. Be quick, be dirty, get ahead in this game and win and go to 2-0 to set up a wild showdown. 2-0 Eagles Monday Night Football. But we do have a game to talk about here. Ira, how are you? I know you're on a little vacation.
Doing well, getting some sun. Went to St. Armand Circle in Sarasota the other night. Went to the Columbia restaurant. And yes, Steve, I got the paella, pitcher of red sangria. You know, you start your vacation off like that, Steve, it's tough to match that. It was a hell of a start. The weather's cooperating. I don't see any red tide out here. Steve, finally, the sage gets to the beach. You can't go a summer in Florida and not go to the beach, Steve. That's ridiculous. And I'm talking to you, DeCamper. You can't go the whole summer without going to the beach. So, Lee, you tell me when you're going, and I want to be there because I want to see what kind of bathing suit you come out with.
Well, number one, I'm not going to do that because I believe in public decorum. yesterday was another day of the dermatologist getting carved up. So those days are done. I got to have shade, unfortunately. But I'll certainly drink like a fish at one of the beach bars, but I just got to have shade.
I got a tiki bar with your name on it, Lee. I got a tiki bar.
Very good. Very good. Hope you went to one of those Amish restaurants down in Sarasota. Those are fantastic.
Give me, if you got a name or two, text them to me.
I shall. I mean, they're dynamite.
While Lee looks up those restaurants, BillCurryFord.com, Sage, Bill Curry Ford. They present your work here at JoeBucksFan.com, and they present people of the Tampa Bay area with great value and great family-owned service. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, is a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. The construction is almost finished there, Ira. It's coming along. The giant is going to be revealed this fall, but they are open for business. Great construction sale pricing. Sean Sullivan is handing people $500 gift cards if they order a new vehicle online. No deposit. It is so easy. And you can still ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. Bill Curry Ford, great selection of used vehicles, A-plus auto body, and Sean's going to guide you and help you if you want that personal extra touch. It's fantastic. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration. You know, Sean called me and he said, hey, I want to, next time I come on the podcast, I want to tell everybody how great Florida's Elite Restoration is, and Josh, because, you know, Sean has a property that I'm not going to say it was destroyed, but took a lot of damage in the hurricane. And he made the smart move. He called Florida's Elite Restoration, and their team was out there quickly to assess and to dry out the flood. And that's what they do, and work with his insurance company. And so that was a nice touching tribute there. But everybody can access Florida's Elite Restoration online 24/7. You can call them. And if you mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan, when you first call, they will give you $500 if you end up using their service. And maybe that's cash back for your deductible or just money that you get back because you paid in cash. Floridaselite.com. How about that, Sage? We're unifying our supporters.
I think it's fantastic that Sean Sullivan now has firsthand knowledge of the expertise of Florida's Elite Restoration. Josh and his crew do a fantastic job. Word of mouth is unbelievable on this company, and now Sean Sullivan's a true believer. When you win over Sean Sullivan, who's a savvy businessman, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, and no knock on Sean, but we know Sean's a tough customer. I mean, he demands excellence like he does at Bill Curry Ford, and he feels he got it from Florida's Elite Restoration, so that was very, very cool. Sage, the official beer of this podcast is Big Storm Beer, bigstormbrewery.com. I'll talk about more of their beers later because we're all salivating for the weekend, maybe a Bromosa, Bay Beer, Tropic Pressure, so many greats, bigstormbrewery.com. All right, Ira, look. This game coming up, we'll get into your picks later, but we've had some chatter this week, and one thing that is kind of bizarre, and a lot of fans got excited about this, we touched on it on the last podcast, because I was the first to write about it, that Baker Mayfield was sort of stealing the signs from the Vikings. Now, the funny thing here is that Todd Bowles was asked on Wednesday about this, and he said, no, it doesn't really work that way. Rashad was kind of exaggerating when he said that. And then they asked Mayfield like 5 minutes later, and Mayfield's like, oh yeah. He credited a lot to what he was able to decipher from the Vikings. And then Dave Canales is asked about it, and he's like, oh, I'm not going to comment on that. Rashad already got in trouble and blah, blah, blah. And it's like they're trying to be so stealth about this, yet meanwhile, every team admits to watching hours and hours and hours of film. They're trying to pick up on tendencies. They have somebody who listens to the broadcast live in case they're hearing calls that can be shared. They've got somebody in the booth staring at pictures all the time to pick up tips. And so Mayfield just admits that, hey, I was able to get something and the Bucs are trying to cover it up. They should be celebrating it. What am I missing here?
I don't quite understand the cover up, Steve, because it happens all the time. Baseball, Lee knows, you steal signs. It's part of the game. It's been going on for 100 years. Some teams are better at it than others. Something changed, Lee, in terms of the Buck offense in the second half of that game. Their first 5-6 possessions were awful, absolutely terrible. They were having all kinds of trouble with Brian Flores' blitzing schemes. You know, they kept getting that guy free in Mayfield's face. He couldn't be proficient whatsoever. And we know about the run game. And by the way, we got to get into that in a couple of minutes. Some strange sentiments shared by Dave Canales on the Buck run game. But all right, Lee, they picked up on the signs. I mean, there's no reason to go into all kinds of subterfuge about, it didn't happen. I trust Mayfield on this one. He's out there. He's not doing coach speak. He's not worried about how it comes off to the league office. It happened. They did it. There was nothing illegal about it. And it was very successful. I don't understand this determined effort on the part of Bowles and Canales to a certain extent to deny that it happened. It happened. Shame on the Vikings. It shouldn't happen. But if you watch the first half and the second half, you realize, boy, something really changed around here. And I think that was part of it.
These football people are so unbelievably paranoid. Someone needs to do a psychological study on these people. Hell, Eisenhower had spies in his office, yet somehow they captured D-Day. Somehow he went through Western and Central Europe. Somehow. Even with spies in his front office. These football people, goodness gracious. Blocking and tackling, that's all it is. You block, you win. You tackle, you win. It's twofold, Ira. Number one, they don't want the Bears changing up their signal. Oh, my God, the Bucks are figuring this out. We better change our signals. You know, we better get Navajo Indians in here like the Marines did so the Japanese won't figure out our code. You know, that kind of crap. Number two, doesn't make the coaches look very smart, does it?
I hear you.
I want your feedback on this. So last night I'm watching the Eagles game, Eagles and Vikings. And, you know, I hear all summer long from the national guys that the Eagles have God's greatest offensive line since Gene Upshaw played. And the Eagles' defense is the standard by which NFL teams should build. Yet the Vikings put up more yards on the road in a short week on the Eagles than they put up on the Bucs. Consequently, everybody's like screaming, offensive line, this offensive line. Oh my God, the offensive line, I'm going to run out of traffic, the offensive line. The Bucs gave up one sack last week. The Eagles gave up four, playing the same defense. I want your feedback, Ira.
Well, Lee, we do have to acknowledge that Swift ran for a buck 75. He did. He's a good back. You know, he's not Eric Dickerson. So the offensive line did its job in that way. But you're right. The passing game, it's come out of the box a little slow for the Eagles. They were in charge of that game until late charged by the Vikings. By the way, the Vikings better get their act together. Lee, I was looking at their schedule. They got some tough games coming up. I mean, a couple of laughers. I think they play the Bears and another bad team. They could be 2-5. Lee, and then you're wondering about Kirk Cousins' future. But you're right, Lee. Now, only Lee DeKemper would come up with Dwight D. Eisenhower and the Minnesota Vikings in the same sense. Well done, my man.
Now, what about the defense, Ira? You know, everybody bragged about the Eagles' defense, yet the Bucs held the Vikings to less yards.
No question. Of course, Jefferson got his again. He might set the all-time receiving single-season receiving yards record. One, he's great. Two, he gets, 14 targets a game. Three, they don't run the ball. So here comes Cousins. Reminds me of Brady last year. Not in the kinds of passes he's throwing, Lee, but the number of passes. I think it was 44 last night. Another game with 350 yards. But you're right. Overall, the Buck defense played a lot better than the Eagles defense. Steve, I guess you could say Philly, you know, they lost their intensity because they had a big lead. You could say that. But Cousins was, he was picking them apart down the stretch.
All right, Sage, I know fans are fired up because the Eagles are coming in week three. But you just said that you've got some things to talk about with the Bucs running game, some things that maybe confuse you that you heard. What's on your mind, Aaron?
If I didn't watch the game week one, I would have thought the Bucs averaged 4.5 yards, ran for about 160. What is true is they ran a lot. But Lee, eight of those carries came from Mayfield, which gained all of 11 yards. So maybe, you know, you could say, well, that skewed the average. But they ran 30-something times. The longest run, guys, the longest run, I think, was 6 yards. That's not a robust running game. You crazy? Yet Canales says, well, on half the runs, we got at least 4 yards. Well, you can twist and turn anything you want, Lee, but I didn't walk away from that game saying Rashad White's the man and the Bucs' rushing woes are over. Anything but, Lee. Anything but.
I've written, I don't know how many times throughout the offseason that, number one, the Bucs had the worst rushing attack in the league, and I know what I'm about to say is going to trigger Steve because he's a big Chase Edmonds fan. I'm sorry. The guy had 250 yards rush. That's not even Peyton Barber level. And I don't think the Bucs seriously addressed the worst running attack in the league. So far, again, early first week, so far, my fear have not been swayed.
Steve, did you walk away from game one thinking, boy, the rushing game looks a lot better? I didn't.
No. And we talked about this last podcast. On to week two. We got to see what it looks like and how they can adjust. And I mean, I get the positives that Canales is pushing, which is, yeah, we did hit our goal of, 50% efficient rushes, 4 yards or more, but they weren't much more than 4 yards and they got no explosive yards, but no negative runs is a good thing because those are drive killers too. You know, you get a negative 3.5 yard run. That's as good as a sack. And that's a bonus as well, but they'll work it out. You know, we'll see what it looks like because they should be able to run this week. They want to run this week. Let's see them actually do it. Ira, anything else you heard this week from one Buck, maybe from Bulls, maybe a tone, maybe some insight that you got just studying the Bucks this week since the immediate aftermath of the game?
I think just how hard they played, and there were some games last year. Quite frankly, I didn't think they played as hard as they needed to. They played hard in Minneapolis. They played physical in Minneapolis. I just think the O-line, which I said before the season, and I think Lee agreed with me, was going to be the key to this team because we thought the defense was going to be pretty good, and it was in week one. I thought the pass protection in the second half, you know, I'm very optimistic. After seeing that, now, look, the Vikings, this is not the Purple People Eaters. I understand that. Lee, we saw what Danielle Hunter could do last night, and Gedeky did a pretty good job on him. You know, he had a sack. I'm not even sure that sack was Gedeky's fault. You know, Hunter bounced off another guy. It was a kind of a mixed-up play, and it wasn't like he just beat Gedeky cleanly on that, and that was the only sack for the Vikings. So the thing I'm taking away from this week is they got something to build on in terms of pass protection. Last year, guys, I don't think I'm overreacting. Brady had zero, and I mean zero, confidence in their pass protection. And you could tell it showed, Lee. It showed every game, virtually every snap. I think Mayfield does have faith in these guys up front. By the way, Lee, and I mentioned it the other day because I was looking for something to write that you guys hadn't touched on. And I just thought, you know, wait a minute. That was Tristan Wirfs' first game at a new position. And Lee, you never heard his name. And watching the game in replay, the guy just swallows up people. You know, and Lee, I know you thought, don't mess with a good thing. But Lee, even you have to admit, boy, he didn't miss a beat on Sunday.
It's encouraging. Let's put it that way. It's
encouraging. Lee, Ira, let's Lee go first. Sage, I'll give you a little time to think, a little respect for my elders here. Lee, give me one thing, just one. I don't care what side of the ball it is or special teams. One thing that you are dialed in on this week for the Bucs to improve.
Oh, my gosh, the running game. Because, you know, I love to pass the ball, provided you have the horses. And I don't think any of us want to see Mayfield put up 40 passes a game. I mean, it'd be fun to watch, but I don't know how effective that would be. It's obviously the run game. The run game has to, you know, it has to get on board. If Rashad White stinks up a joint again, that will mean he's only had one game out of 20. And at that point, I don't know how much more rope you can give the guy. You know, he's got to show something. Something. So to me, the focus is the run game. You know, they want to run the ball. Bowles talks about it. Canales talks about it. So if you want to run the ball, you better have a productive run game. Otherwise, you're setting up your team to lose. And I don't think the Bucs are built, even though they have Godwin, even though they have Evans, I don't think they're built to pass the ball. You know, that's just the way Mayfield is. I'm not killing him. That's just the way it is. So you better come up with a good run game. And Rashad White better get going. Otherwise, I don't know if you go to Sean Tucker. You know, I know a lot of people want Sean Tucker, but you know what? There were two runs that he had. If he had any vision at all, he could have cut it inside, could have cut it outside. Got a big gain. He didn't do it. That did not impress me. I'm going to give that guy all the rope there is because he missed all off season because of that heart issue. So he's basically starting from scratch. But I'm about done with White. He had all off season to improve himself. And the only thing I can tell he improved himself with was his ability to speak with media. That he's done really well. And he's good at catching the ball out of the backfield. But I got to see something from the ground game. And if he stinks up the joint again, the Bucs seriously have to consider, no matter what they've said publicly, they have to seriously consider other alternatives. If that means going outside the organization, so be it.
You're right. He didn't miss too many podiums during the offseason, too many podcasts. Steve, I've got two of them. One, this one's on the coaching staff, Bowles and his guys on the defensive side. And Steve, it's something you said a month ago. I didn't pay much attention to it because I usually don't pay too much attention to your sentiments, Isbitz.
Thank you, Ira.
But, Steve, this one's worth repeating. You might have caught something here. And I'm speaking about Anthony Nelson. I don't want the guy on 70% of the defensive snaps, but I want to see more of Anthony Nelson. He had a heck of a game, Steve. You're high on this guy. He's very effective as a spot player. I think he deserves more playing time, more snaps. Take away from whoever you want to take it away from. Tryon, Shienka, whoever. The guy's effective. Number two, Steve, I think the guy had an okay game, but I want to see a little more. I know he's coming off a major injury, but Shaq Barrett, I think he had three quarterback hits, which I like. But watching the game, you know, I didn't see that dynamic of performance from Shaq. He might have a different responsibility this week, but I want to see some more flash plays from Shaq Barrett. And I want to see more Anthony Nelson.
I think Shaq was real good against the run, but we want to see a little more explosion against the pass. But he was real good against the run. For me, it's Cade Otton. Just keep it simple. If this offense is going to be successful, they got to have a quality tight end. It's not Coke Keefe. That's no knock on him. He's not designed to be out there catching 40 balls. Not enough from Otton. We need more. So I'm looking at that for that to take a step. We mentioned it before, Ira. Florida's best craft beer is Big Storm Beer. And they are the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. They are fantastic. And you've got to check out all their tap rooms where you can load up on all the varieties, or you can go to Publix and other stores, and then you're going to see the Bromosa and some other Big Storm beers. BigStormBrewery.com. Check it out today and watch all the games at Big Storm Ybor. New place upstairs, Centro Ybor. Great vibe. A lot of fun. Great food. Check out all the Big Storm menus. They're all a little bit different at each location. BigStormBrewery.com. All right, Sage, look, an important piece of Bucks history, I believe, may have been made public, and no one's talking about it, and we're going to talk about it right now because we're on top of these things, Ira. And Bruce Arians, as we mentioned weeks ago, has a new podcast, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be, you know, talk about the games of the week kind of podcast. It appears that he got Melanie Collins from CBS to come to his lake house and sit down and maybe record 10 episodes or something like that. And then they're going to roll them out, mixture of guests and chatter and all kinds of stuff. So the first episode after the preview that popped about 6 weeks ago, the first episode popped this week. And it's just a chat with Arians about all kinds of things. And in that chat, Ira, he said, and it was revealed, and I didn't know this before, maybe you did, since you guys are pretty close, Arians said in there that he has never fired an assistant coach. His attitude is that you hire him, you picked him as the best guy, you coach him up. And Bear Bryant, he said, never fired anybody either. That he would reassign him, give him different jobs or whatever, but you don't fire an assistant coach. That's Arians' mindset on loyalty. And I think he made it very clear there, he didn't approve of what Todd Bowles did with Byron Leftwich. Arians actually even said, you don't fire a coach and, you know, throw somebody else under the bus because you failed. He didn't mention Leftwich or Bowles, but I think it's clear now that the reason Arians has disappeared is because that Todd Bowles broke that loyalty chain and fired his guy.
There is a little bit of an estrangement between Arians and the organization. I don't think anybody at the Bucs are willing to acknowledge that on the record. But the facts are the facts, guys. Arians has disappeared. He's at the lake house. He's playing golf. He's doing his podcast. He's not going to be at the stadium for the Bears game on Sunday. He's certainly not going on the road. And he's certainly not going to practices during the week. So he's gone. He does take loyalty to the nth degree. You put loyalty in a dictionary, you should have Arians' picture next to it. I don't happen to always agree with that philosophy. If the guy's not doing the job, Lee, even though you hired him, you got to move somebody else in. And I can't really blame Todd Bowles for an offense that averaged 18 points, Lee, with Tom Brady. And I don't think Bowles had a lot to do with the offense last year. I'm not going to pin that one on Bowles. I think Brady shares some of the blame. He could have changed things. He had that kind of power. But he's a loyalty fanatic. We knew about that with Arians. And he just reinforced it on his podcast. But to hold it against Todd Bowles to get rid of Leftwich when he thinks he's making a step up with Canales, I don't think that's really fair to Todd Bowles.
No, it's not. Now, Arians also referred to assistant coaches as family. He said that's basically, you don't do that to family.
Right.
Yeah, to me it was clear. He never mentioned names, but it's pretty obvious that he didn't like that. Now, I can't believe that Arians is going to completely ostracize Bowles, because Bowles goes all the way back with Arians to Temple. I think Arians is upset about it, but I don't think he's going to cut off Bowles and, like, you know, not have any communication with him. You can tell he's not happy about it. And I think Arians makes a subtle point. You know, why didn't Bowles, you know, have Christensen take over last year when it was pretty obvious that Leftwich was over his head? Christensen's been an offensive coordinator before. Why didn't he just make a lateral movement and say, Clyde, you're taking over the offense? Who knows? I don't know what the answer is to that. But I can't blame Bowles, because Bowles, his job's on the line. Was he supposed to kowtow to Arians and get canned because Arians doesn't like a move? No. I mean, I love Arians, don't get me wrong, but what's Bowles supposed to do? Leftwich was fully incompetent. I understand what Arians is saying. It's your job. This is something else he said, Ira. It's the head coach's job to coach up the assistants if they're not doing a good enough job. That's fair, but Bowles isn't an offensive guy. So I don't know how he's going to coach him up outside of bringing someone in and making Leftwich a figurehead, basically a gopher, high-paid gopher. Bowles has a job to do. He's got his own responsibilities.
This little angle about reassigning a guy that's not getting the job done in the role that you're paying him for, that doesn't work, Steve. I mean, what are they going to do with Leftwich? Make him an offensive quality control guy? I mean, that's silly. That's silly, Steve. You got to sever the ties with, if you don't want him as your offensive coordinator, you got to get rid of him. He's gone. And that's just the way it is in the NFL. And when the offense is struggling like that, and you got Tom Brady, somebody's got to take the fall. Arian said what he's got to say, and I got no problem with what Bowles did.
I got to say, Ira, we all remember the conspiracy theories and all the chatter surrounding Bruce Arians leaving the Bucs, and how he, in late March, pulled the plug and surprised everybody. And some people thought it was because Tom Brady ran him out or told everybody, oh, I'll come back if Bruce is leaving, things like that. But hearing Arians again, it just sounds like Arians sat back and said, you know what? The only way I'm going to make sure my assistants don't get fired or nobody screws with my lineup here is to leave when they can't do it anymore.
That sounds right, Steve. However, I still go back to an unanswered question, because, Steve, you and I were at Palm Beach in the spring of 2022, and I arrive at the hotel, on a Sunday before the meeting start, and I ask, where's Arians? And I was told he went home. In other words, Steve, it still hasn't been explained to me. If you're going to step down, why did you go to Palm Beach for a day, or maybe less than a day, and then hightail it back to Tampa? Maybe you wanted to talk to the Glazers. I don't know. The Glazers were in Palm Beach. I understand that. But the fact that he went to the owners' meetings and left before the meetings even started, and then a day or two later, when the NFC coaches were having their meetings with the media, there was nobody from the Bucs to represent. Nobody. Very, very strange situation. So That's the one part of this whole thing that to me hasn't been answered. Well, why did Arians even make the trip to Palm Beach if he was going to step down?
It is a little weird that history is out there. He did meet with Sam Farmer and Peter King to reveal his story, and he got there early, but the whole thing's strange. But anyway, just an important nugget from Arians and why he's disappeared. Now, why it sort of felt like he's not coming back at all. He doesn't want to associate himself with Todd Bowles' betrayal. It's probably unfair, but that's Arians right now, and that's where it stands. All right, Sage, we got a game on Sunday. Good chance of rain, 91 degrees. Here come the Bears. They suck. They didn't look good last week. They're riding an 11-game losing streak. I think it's 9 games with Justin Fields at quarterback. And how do you see this game? And give me a score. And if you don't want to do that yet, you can hand it over to Lee or hand it over to me. We'll follow your order as the Sage.
All right. I'm going to start this week for week two. Lee, the Bears can't be as bad as they looked against Green Bay, can they, Lee? I mean, they sucked. They scored a couple cheap touchdowns at the end to make the score. It wasn't even close at that point, but to make it look a little bit better than a total dropping. A lot of pressure on Justin Fields, Lee. Within the Bears organization, they don't quite know what they have. Yeah, he can run for 1,100 yards, but can he throw for 3,000 yards, let alone 4,000? I don't think this is going to be a laugher, Lee. There's going to be 10,000 Bear fans. We all know that. I don't think they're going to have a lot to yak about on their offense. But, Lee, I'm looking for a close game. I think the Bucs will win because they have a better roster. They have a better quarterback. A lot more weapons in terms of downfield passing. I'm looking at 20-16 Bucks. I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout either, because until I see it, the Bucks have no offense. Until I see it, I'm a Bernie Bush kind of guy. You got an offense, you got weapons. Let's see it. Simple as that. I don't think I'm outrageous in saying that. The Bears are that horrible, Ira. They're on an 11-game losing streak. In those 11 games, they've given up 25 or more points at the risk of alienating a good friend of ours. Until Justin Fields shows us otherwise, he sucks. He's a runaround quarterback. He's a wishbone quarterback, basically. Unless Todd Bowles totally screws us up. And I like Todd, and I think the world of him as a defensive coach. But Todd likes to blitz. He led the NFL in blitzing last week. And blitzing is the only time Justin Fields looks like a capable quarterback. If you flood the secondary with players and play zone, he can't figure it out. He's all screwed up. But if you blitz him, that's put right into his hands. I hope Bowles can restrain himself. Don't blitz. They got this game.
That's a very good analysis, Leah. I hadn't thought about that blitz angle. You're right. This game does not call for heavy blitzing. Does not.
No. And if the Bucs lose this game, this will be one of the most embarrassing Bucs losses. Well, since they lost to Cleveland last year. That's how bad this will be. 24-17 Bucs.
Sage, before I give you my score, I have an important question for you as well, because we need your insight, as always, as we get on this podcast. And if you missed the earlier podcast this week, still plenty to listen to there. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, JoeBucksFan.com, other platforms. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford. They will meet or beat any Ford dealer's best offer or give you $500 cash. Sean Sullivan loves to give readers cash, Joe Bucks Fan listeners and readers. He is ready for you to help you personally. BillCurryFord.com. Any new vehicle ordered through their concierge service, Sean's going to hand you a $500 gift card. No deposit. So easy. BillCurryFord.com. Florida's Elite Restoration. We heard from them. Ira, thank you, Florida'sElitereStoration.com, for being there for all of us. So when we have that mold in our house or storm damage, flood, fire, whatever it is, they are there for you 24/7. Call them. They will be out there for a free assessment immediately. Check out their service at Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And Big Storm Brewery, Sage, head on out to Centro Ybor. They've got all the games on YouTube TV out there upstairs. They're encouraging some new football business out there in their new location. Fun place, great time, good menu. BigStormBrewery.com to see all the tap rooms. Ira, in this game, I'm a little concerned, and I want to know how much you are concerned about Carlton Davis has a bad toe. And I'm hoping it's not turf toe, and it sounds like it might be. he hasn't practiced, and we've got a Christian Izian with a concussion that he appeared on the list there on Wednesday. So I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I don't like giving the Bears an opportunity to exploit maybe a Dee Delaney and a Zion McCollum out there. I'm a little leery about that, and I don't think the Bears are quite as bad as they were on opening day. It's one of those reaction things, but they do stink. So I am going to give the Bucs a 21-13 victory, again on the backs of the defense. But how do you feel about those potential losses in the secondary?
Steve, it's a fair point. However, the counter-argument is the Bears don't have the weapons to exploit it. Look, I like DJ Moore. I drafted him for fantasy. He caught two early passes last week, and then he didn't catch another ball. And he's a good receiver. He's had 1,000-yard seasons in this league. I'm not sure Justin Fields can get him the ball. It was a problem DJ Moore faced at Carolina a few years with rotten quarterbacks. Here we are again. And so if it was any other team, if it was the Eagles, you know, who they're playing the following week, and the Bucs had the same kind of injury report, yeah, you'd be terrified with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. But this is the Bears, Steve, so I understand your point about some injuries. I got the Bears scoring 16 points. I think without those injuries, I would have made it 10. I just don't think they got enough weapons around Fields to exploit it.
And like Lee said, Fields just hasn't shown enough yet. He averaged one touchdown pass a game last year. I don't think that's going to cut it to beat the Bucs with the way their run defense is. Sage, you want to say goodbye to Bucs fans? You got a final jolt to send them to 2-0?
This is going to be a Rondé Barber week is building. There's a movie about Barber in the middle of next week at that Tampa Theater. I think Buck fans are invited. They can go. There's a movie about Barber. And then, of course, the Eagles game, there'll be a halftime ceremony for his Hall of Fame ring. So in honor of Rondé Barber, I'm looking for a pick six off Justin Fields, and I'm looking for Jamel Dean to do it. So, Dean, if you're listening to this podcast, get your act together. You're going to get some chances on Sunday.
All right. The Sage has spoken. Ira, be well. We'll talk to you next week.